Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello and welcome to the Football Ramble. It's jammy, but we don't care. Maguire hammers home the winner and North Macedonia are all our second favourite team. It's Thursday, the 1st of April. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
It is lovely to have your company this Thursday on the Football Ramble. And we have to start with some breaking news from MSN Sport. Pundit blasts rumoured Newcastle decision. It's a massive championship contingency plan, says the pundit. The pundit, Pete Donaldson.
Yes.
What?
I mean, I am astonished that after 12 years in football broadcasting, the very idea that one of my opinions is worthy of a 4 kilobyte file on an internet server somewhere is met with such humour and amusement.
The best bit is the first paragraph. Pete Donaldson was one of the guests on the latest episode of the Football Ramble
Good.
Podcast.
Look, I'm honoured to be here. I just hope to return sometime if you'd have me back. So, yeah, thank you to, I think his name is Kaus. The bloke who wrote the bloke or possibly lady who wrote the piece. So well done.
I think with such incendiary opinions, I think there's no doubt you're coming back on a regular basis.
I'm a firebrand. I'm thinking out of the box. I am a disruptor of the football media landscape. All right.
What were the verbs used, Jules? Did Donaldson rage?
You know what? There's a lot of verbs in here. There's a lot of superlatives. And I was waiting for the point in the article where it was just an April Fool's that you were actually...
Yeah, it was actually put in the last day of March. So we're fine. We're covered. We're squared away.
Oh, Pete, there you go. You've made the news. What
I know.
A time to be alive.
Slagging off Steve Bruce, as I always knew I would be.
Let's just be careful what we say around him today then, Andy, because he's now a respected pundit.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is when I used to work on a radio station on The Breakfast Show that was listened to by one of you remember the 3am girls in The Sun? Not them. There was like a Bee Gees Pound Stretcher version of that in the Daily Star. and a lovely woman, weirdly, who has the same name as Charlie, who works on the show.
Full name.
Entire
Charlie
name.
Morgan.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Love
Charlie
it.
Morgan. Which has meant I've rang her on more than one occasion by accident. Charlie, can you show the cameras out? What? I've not spotted you in 12 years. Yeah, she put me in the spotted box. On the 3am Star Girls kind of thing. Spotted in Leicester Square walking around with a baldy head.
Spotted for what?
Just walking around.
Just being you.
Like as if I'm a celebrity.
Is it a bit like that time that Sean St. Ledger walked out of that club in NYC at exactly the same time as Taylor Swift?
Yes.
And all his mates thought,
yes, please.
At
least you didn't get a circle of shame or something, you know.
Yes.
They circle a bad thing that you've, you know, sweat
in,
patches.
We in front of an ATM or something. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Visible panty line.
That would never happen.
Never.
Because I don't wear them. I burn my trousers every evening. I buy them in bulk like Prince Charles and his socks.
Commando Pete. Oh, God. Let's talk about the football from last night then. England beating Poland 2-1. Was it a bit jammy? Was it a little bit jammy?
I think England deserved to win it on the overall of the game. I think what was the most concerning thing is we've seen this a lot from England before, and we talked about it on the live watch along on Patreon last night that me and Marcus did. Thanks for joining us, patrons. And if you didn't join us, well, maybe join us next time.
Yeah.
That England have this thing and have had this thing for a very long time, going back pre-Southgate, going back even pre-Allardyce, dare I say, into Hodgson, where they can be fantastic for an hour. And then if they've not got the result they need, they just run out of ideas.
Yeah.
And at that point, it did feel like the only way a goal was going to come was from a set piece. Now, you know, they negotiated the set piece situation very well, and your two centre-halves combining like that's fantastic. But it did feel that England had reached a bit of a dead end in a game that they should have had wrapped up in the first hour, to me.
Yeah, no. No, yeah, I agree completely, but... Still, the finish from Maguire.
Amazing.
I mean, what on earth? And Stones does very well because obviously all the big news and all the kind of headlines are all about the mistake he made for Poland's goal. But for him to kind of redeem himself with putting the ball in just the perfect spot for someone to finish it and having Harry Maguire there just to hit
absolutely
home like that.
It home.
Absolutely smashed it.
It was an enjoyable... And you don't get enough
enjoyable.
Of those moments with England, because this is what you get with Southgate sides. 80% of the sides you face... You're probably going to beat quite handsomely.
Yeah.
Every now and again, you'll beat Belgium. You'll get a Belgium result.
Yeah.
But in the main, it's grind court. It's napalm death. It's just grind and just go, right, have we got this? Have we got this yet? No, we've completely run out of ideas, like Andy said, after about an hour. But you don't get those kind of moments enough, I think, as an England supporter. Just seeing a central defender lash one home. It's very, very
lovely.
You're right. He really smashed it. I mean, you could see Szczesny go, ow, that's my smoking hand.
Will Marcus hate me for being... a little bit proud of Jakub Moda for scoring the Poland goal because he plays for Brighton.
Oh, he picked his pocket.
The first thing I said, actually, while people were talking about John Stones, and when I say the first thing I said, it was quite a long while after the goal had gone in because my stream was delayed.
Oh, no, see.
So
perils.
So in the watch along, you had them going, oh, God, here we go again.
I was like, what's wrong? Have you like run out of crisps or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the first thing I said is, I can't believe we've not got Jules here to celebrate a Brighton goal at international level after Leandro Trossard had a big week as well.
I know. Yeah. You know what? All sorts of Brighton players were scoring. Percy Tau scored as well in the last day or two as well. And I can't remember, there was another one as well. But everyone's just seeming to be scoring. Which
they love Robert Sanchez with Spain. He's been very popular.
It would be nice if they did that in the Premier League when they came back as well. But when Moda scored, there was a moment where my initial reaction was, oh, balls, we conceded. Oh, it's Moda though. And then I was like, oh, I'm actually a little bit proud. Now just win the game, England, for God's sake. Like, so I am happy that he's you know, got on the score sheet. But yeah, it was. I think he's actually the first Brighton player to start against England and score.
Right,
in
okay.
history. I mean, if there's a stat, you're going to use it.
It's niche.
It's
like when new stats are made up for Messi and Ronaldo.
Have you got your own kind of octoperson working on your behalf? things that make me happy.
Yeah, give me something. Give me something on him.
But people were like blaming Pope for the pass and like sort of. But
it's not Pope's fault.
I think he put it in exactly the right place. You don't want it right into your feet at that point, do you? Like, you want it kind of just out of your feet a little bit so you can get your foot around it.
But I agree.
He's just a heavy touch, and you know, England did look a bit sleepy at times, and that was kind of indicative of a wider malaise, you might say.
I also think on John Stones, look, if we're going to play out from the back, those mistakes are going to happen, and of course you don't want to see them happen, but at least we still went on to win the game, and that could have been any one of our defenders that did that. I don't think it's fair for everyone to be.
Stones has got that in his life.
He does.
And people are going, oh, can he play in a two? Can he do this?
I think it's a bit unfair. Like, he's barely put a foot wrong this season as a whole, and it's just a shame that this has happened to him in an England game.
Do you think he missed Jules having Ruben Dias to hold his hand? And I'm not joking.
Are you saying is his babysitter, Andy?
Well, you just look at it. Like, people had written him off as a Manchester City player before the start of this season, and you know, people were sort of doing these sort of speculative. Where could he go where people won't get annoyed with him for like losing the ball at the back?
Don't play for England.
And now. You know, he seemed to have that, you know, that they sort of do the soft focus on their face. Oh, what's going through his head at this moment? Ruben, where are you?
I think we've spent a lot of time on the ramble, all of us in our, you know, all eight of us across the sort of last week or so, talking about who we'd like to see start for England. I still want to see John Stones start for England in the summer.
It hasn't
put me off at all.
Look. Who else we got, really? Who's playing at the top of the league in England? So, look, we look at who we're going to be facing in the group stages in the Euros, and everyone's sort of gone, what is it, like 73 days? It was written down here, England are facing Croatia in their opener. Like, they've mainly spent lockdown getting beaten by people like Sweden and handsomely beating Malta, obviously. But I can't see. They'll get through the group. If they don't, it's a disgrace.
Did you say 73 days?
72 sleeps now.
That feels quite... that's like 150 games.
That's true, actually, yeah. Anything could take place. You look at like everyone's fantasy league teams, everyone's injured. No one's going to survive to start the Euros. We're going to have to invent new players to play.
It was nice to see Sterling, Foden and Kane in a three. Will we see that at City next season?
Oh, Jules, stop it.
You went there.
Oh, my God.
Stop this April Fool's shenaniganery.
You never know.
Well, we talked about that, didn't we, on the way in, how fans are so good at taking a joke now, because I think it was Richard Cawley from the South London Press today for April Fool's Day. He said the April Fool's joke that did him when he was a kid, that is... dad and brother have never let him forget. There's an old cover from, I guess, the late 80s of Match magazine, I think it was. And it was a picture of Ian Rush in an Everton shirt, and it said, "Exclusive, Rush signs for Everton." And you think a joke like that would never happen.
No. Oh, his house would be on fire, Andy.
People would lose their shit.
Please don't burn my house down, guys. It was a joke. I was only joking, Spurs fans. Sorry, Kate Mason. Look, it's not long until the Euros now. That was obviously... 9 points out of 9 that we've got in these World Cup qualifiers. three wins out of three. It's been pretty good international break for England as a whole, hasn't it?
It's been a heavy run of games in the Premier League and beyond, and in international football. And look, if you can put that amount of points on the table after three matches, it's pretty bloody good. But like, if I was going to sort of detract from the performance a little bit, and it probably deserves a lot of detraction, but like Chilwell, I thought had quite a poor game. Bearing in mind he's got like Shaw and he's got Saka that could be, he was kind of trying to stake a claim in that side. I just thought he may miss out on the strength of that performance because I thought he was kind of poor.
That's the thing. I don't think you can play like he played as part of a back four.
No,
I don't think you can do that as well. I think that does work for sure. I agree with you.
Yeah, for me, I think Shaw is the left back that we go with for starting games in the Euros personally.
Agreed.
And Trent, have we missed Trent? Is that something that we've missed in these three games?
But like Andy says, there are so many games between now and the Euros. I just don't know know what the squad, but state the squad's going to be in. Kane might get injured, and then
Marcus will be crying at home right now.
Pep will be crying.
Well, look, a good night for England as a whole. Yes, we did concede a bit of a poor goal, but still getting the win on the night over Poland. It wasn't quite a good night, though, for England's under-21s. Look, they conceded a goal to Croatia in the dying moments, and therefore they've been knocked out of the under-21s Euros, Andy. I mean, this was poor from England's under-21s, wasn't it? We have got such an incredible team, an incredible squad in these under-21s. They should really be doing better than that, shouldn't they? And they looked heartbroken.
I mean, what Adi Boothroyd needs, I think, is someone like me going, you know, it's not about the result. It's about the development of the players. I mean, he did give quite a pugnacious interview afterwards, didn't he, where he sort of defended his position. I don't know about you guys. I thought, wind it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because... you know, it is a failure, and I think overall it's quite a positive thing. But we've often, I think, swept under 21 results under the carpet. And like I said, it's not all about the results, but the under 21s are not looked upon in England as they are in other countries like, you know, France or Spain, where if you lose a big game, it's a disgrace, and it's something that you talk about nationally as a big part of the conversation. I don't think that's ever really been the case. So the fact that it feels to me like the under-21s, partly because of the talent and the anticipation, but partly maybe because there's a wider understanding amongst fans that development part of the game is super important, and Gareth Southgate being there and that kind of, you know, lineage is something that he's very heavily into. I actually feel quite positive that now this is actually a topic of discussion, whereas maybe this would be about half a line 5 years ago. So I feel that's quite good. I mean, obviously, it's quite infuriating that England started to do something at the point where it was pretty much lost.
Mm.
You know, they could have got there, but I think that would have papered over a lot of cracks. But I guess for, say, Luke, for example, it's the worst of both worlds because England don't make it and Adi Boothroyd can go, look, they can do it for me.
Yeah, I think, look, when you look at the players that are, and the talent that are in the under-21 squad, a lot of them are Premier League starters, the likes of Curtis Jones this season, who, of course, has been escalated into Liverpool's starting 11 because of injuries. But still, he's been excellent for Liverpool this season. And he was one of the players who showed so much passion in the game, probably a little bit too much at the MP. A little bit too much. Bloody
kind of
nose as he
over
came
a
off.
Bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't imagine them celebrating a goal like that.
He had to actually be restrained. God, it was it all got a little bit tense at the end of that. But there we go. England under-21s are out of their Euros. You were saying a minute ago about disgraces, Andy. Germany, what a disgrace last night. Losing to North Macedonia. How on earth does that happen? And in Joachim Löw's last game before, well, last World Cup game,
you know,
technically.
Until you said that, I'd not even thought about it. It's so weird, isn't it, at the moment with doing the World Cup qualifiers in your warm-up for the Euros.
It just feels weird. I keep getting confused with the World Cup and the Euros. But these were the qualifiers for the next World Cup, which is the year after next. No, next year. It's next year now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is next year.
And it's Euro 2020. But they're not rebranding it.
In 2021.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of T-shirts to chuck in the bin, isn't it?
Lord.
Have you ever bought like just a branded kind of festival or sport event kind of like T-shirt? Not like a particular club or anything. Just a hat that just says the FIFA World Cup.
The
FIFA World Cup.
No, but I would do because right. for this, because it's 20 and happening in 21.
Good point.
It's like when I was
Is it going to say 2020 on all the branding then?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not so rebranding. Weird. Amazing.
It's like when I saw in a bargain bin somewhere a Champions League football at a sports shop, a Champions League football for Istanbul 20. I had to get it.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So going back to Germany then, Andy, it's their third ever defeat in World Cup qualifying. The first time, the first since they've lost against England at 5-1.
I don't remember that one.
In 2001. What's going on with this German side?
What's going on with this North Macedonian side?
Yeah, I know. Or both.
Well, Germany can't defend. It's that simple. And, you know, because they kept clean sheets in the previous games against Iceland and Romania, a lot of people jumped the gun and said, well, maybe Germany have sorted out their issues at the back. No. I mean, because they had a lot of chances in this. It's a game that they should have won. I think everyone's seen the Timo Werner miss at 1-1. And, you know, you think that he's generally escaped this season at Chelsea of not scoring that many goals unscathed because he's continued to play well and I think he's contributed to the team. But then
but
you
that
see that
was utter bollocks.
You think maybe his confidence has totally gone because he scores that with his eyes shut in any other situation. But it was hilarious. On German television, they had Uli Hoeneß as one of the pundits and he said, "I'm speechless." I was like, well, I think we both know that's not true, mate. But for him to even claim that, I mean, it really says something. And it creates a weird sort of situation for Jogi Löw because since he's announced that he's quitting after the World Cup, it's taken a lot of, after the Euros, sorry, it's taken a lot of pressure.
Yeah, we are getting confused about
that. We really are.
Should we just say in the future?
Yeah. This summer.
After summer, yeah. He has had a lot of the pressure taken off him. Because, you know, people want to take stock of the services given Germany as assistant to Klinsmann and then leading them to the World Cup under his own, on his own bat and all the rest of it, rather than looking about what's going wrong now. But a result like this is going to really bring that into focus a lot more. And like people, he's already thrown out the possibility of bringing back Boateng, Hummels and Müller after very, very publicly firing them. They could have done with Müller in this. They were lacking that little bit of craft. And even the goal they scored, the penalty. I mean, I know some people say Raheem Sterling bought the penalty.
With their gold shoes.
Yeah, but I tell you what, Leroy Sané really bought that penalty. He bought the penalty and left a tip.
Speaking about Thomas Müller, in an Instagram live with Mats Hummels, he's back with another mad nickname. He called Leon Goretzka, Leon Skoretzka.
I mean,
come on.
Something's lost in translation.
Come on, Thomas. Yeah.
He's going to focus on anything. Focus on his muscles. That's what everyone else is focusing on.
But yeah, I mean, for North Macedonia, I wonder what defeat to North Macedonia smells like for Jogi Löw.
Oh, it was so good as the results started rolled in. Look, it's just, I mean, oh, I've just got that. Sorry, Jules. Absolutely stacked that, yeah. I mean, you talk about a man who's like kind of, you know, on the beach, so to speak. The pressure's off. Was the pressure ever on for him? He's doing that sort of thing in front of the cameras.
Exactly.
Well, we talked, didn't we, the other day on here about how he had a little sing of Barry White when he sat down for his press conference. I just think it's a little bit too relaxed. Maybe the North Macedonians saw that.
Yeah.
And maybe Goran Pandev stood up in the dressing room and go, I've never been so insulted. He's singing in the press conference. He thinks it's a shoo-in.
I mean, we have to say, I mean, I'm looking forward to what North Macedonia can produce. The 2019 rebrand has gone very well for Macedonia. That's all I'm saying.
If Goran Pandev is scoring, there's no sort of rebrand.
I mean, it's mad. They've qualified for Euros. Yeah. It's amazing. Mm. Good on them.
Will Pandev survive for it?
Let's hope
37.
So. Let's hope
Good
so.
God.
Some other results to talk about. Spain beating Kosovo 3-1. Luis Enrique and several of his assistants were actually late for the game, though. So I'm surprised it actually did get underway because they got trapped in a lift at their hotel for an hour. Never good. Never a good start to the day,
no,
that.
If you're weeing in the corner of a lift in a bottle.
Oh, God. Oh, it's terrifying. Have you ever been stuck in a lift, Pete?
I got stuck in a paternoster.
What the hell is that?
It's a lift that goes up. It's a lift that's on a conveyor belt that goes up and down at the same time. It's all on a big loop.
No, a bit like a ski lift.
Say again.
A bit like a ski lift.
Yeah, but like you're in a little box and it goes over the top and then down. Down underneath and then over and up and down.
Where right. was this?
De Montfort University in Leicester.
So, okay.
Cool.
How the other half live, Angels? Yeah, wow.
In an old Swedish
How
lift.
Did they get you out of that then?
I don't know. They just restarted it. It was right. a good like 5 minutes and it's a rickety, it's all wood. It's quite rickety and gross. Although if you ever sort of go, I got stuck, but I think it was kind of user operator error. I got stuck in a lift in Cluj. In Romania once, when it was just a very, you know, those very old buildings that the central column is just yeah. a shitty old lift and there's mm-hmm. a, and it goes through a hole in the ceiling and you can't see the lift machinery. And I like to see the lift machinery. I like to see what's going on.
Like to see the cogs turning. Yeah. Andy, you'll be very familiar with the Premier League Productions building at IMG and the lift as you come in on the right-hand side, very temperamental, never use it.
Oh.
It has got stuck several times, and most recently one of my colleagues, one of my friends Alex, got stuck in there, and guess who rescued her?
Go on.
Leon Osman.
Nice.
Really?
Leon Osman, the lift savior.
Did he pull the doors open?
He basically heard her like knocking on the lift going, it's not opening, and he was like, are you all right in there? She was like, I'm stuck in the lift, can you call for help? She didn't have her phone, she couldn't do anything, and the alarm for some reason wasn't working. So right. Leon had to go and get help, and then he went back and stood there to talk to her while they were waiting to get rescued, and he said to her, do you want me to sing you a song?
Do you want it to be Hero by Enrique Iglesias?
Exactly.
Did they know each other before?
Like just from working together right, a little bit, but not like.
I thought it was going to be like an amazing blind date story.
Imagine.
Oh my God, you're beautiful.
Yeah. But because of that, do not ever get that lift, Andy.
I'd assumed it was for cargo anyway, so I've never been near it.
What about Northern Ireland Bulgaria? It finished 0-0, but Stephen Davis has broken the home nation's record for international caps, getting his 126th cap last night, making him the most capped British player in history.
Yes, please.
Which is bad news for Peter Shilton.
Everything's bad news for Peter Shilton these days. The very idea of Bulgaria, I imagine, annoys him.
Ian Barraclough still looking for a win as well.
Oh.
Although I thought Northern Ireland, it was kind of glossed over because everyone's well into Italy at the moment. I thought they actually played pretty well in the second half in Italy. Obviously, they lost the game, but I thought it was quite encouraging.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. All right, look, we're going to talk about Scotland winning in a moment, but we're going to take a break after this. We'll get to some of your emails, hopefully another one of your jingles, and be chatting some more football ramble good stuff. See you after the break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I'm Clive Anderson, and My Seven Wonders is my podcast where I sit down with some fascinating guests and ask them one simple question. If you could pick your own seven wonders of the world, what would they be? The guests' choices lead us to some interesting tales, whether it's Omar Jalili being stopped by New York Customs.
They brought me in for the interview. They said, so what are you doing there? I'm doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg. And the guy said, yeah, I'm doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg, as if you are. And I said, excuse me? I am. That's why I'm going there. And he's doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg. I couldn't believe my ears.
Olivia Lee eating 120-pound apples at Soho House.
I mean, it is hideously expensive. If I'm just going there once and taking an apple, it's the most expensive apple you'll ever eat.
Or David Baddiel talking about his dad's dementia.
The other thing he could remember are his regular insults. So still, when you leave my dad, if you say, I'm off, he will say, you've been off for years. And it's really comforting that he can still abuse you in this way.
Forget the Taj Mahal and the Lighthouse of Alexandria. The wonders of the world we talk about are much more unique. Listen to My Seven Wonders now on your favourite podcast app.
My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson is a Stakhanov production.
Another corner. I'm not too worried about this corner. I mean, it might come back to bite me here, but I think Tottenham have got the dominancy in the air there, you know, so I'm not sure anyone can get the head on the first ball for Liverpool apart from that.
It's a classic Tim Sherwood.
To be fair. Did you say dominancy there? Is that a new word that he's invented? I like the fact that last night they were just screaming for substitutions, screaming for new blood, screaming for... And then Maguire scores and then...
That's the thing, is everyone was moaning. Come on, Southgate, you said everyone's knackered. You said everyone's tired. Make a substitution. Oh, didn't really need to in the end, did it? Didn't need to. Welcome back to Football Ramble, everyone. It's Jules, Andy and Pete here with you today. We want more of your jingles. We've had a few in. We'd like some more. Do better, please.
How very rude.
The madder the better. But we do have a good one here from Chris Roger in the meantime. It's a good one.
Ticks
I love
a lot
that
of
one. I think
that
we
one.
Heard that one last week, but yeah. We love it, Chris. So thank you for that.
Like Jules said, we do need new ones because Pete has threatened to do a metal cover of that.
I'm going to go to Gareth Southgate grindcore.
I'd quite like to hear some of that.
Yeah.
I would. Right, what you got for us, Pete?
Oh, I've got a message, a dispatch from the front lines of Rob Allen. Lockdown is clearly taking its toll because I've started hearing footballers' names in song lyrics. Yes, we're at that particular part of the barrel. I thought it might amuse you and others might have found the same. For a kick off the line, Don't Take It Away From Me in Nine Inch Nails' Terrible Lie sounds like John Terry Away From Me, which seems quite appropriate.
I don't hear that, but if you do, that's fine. Mm. And now the next time I hear it, I probably will hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love Trent Reznor to have a go at this, by the way. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a largely administrative role these days rather yeah. than doing Nine Inch Nails all the time. So
I want to email exactly... you like an animal. That's not...
It is show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble if you've got anything that you'd like to share or say to us. So keep those coming in, including your brilliant jingles. Right, let's get back to last night's games then. Unlike Northern Ireland, Scotland were free scoring last night. They beat the Faroe Islands 4-0, and Che Adams on the score sheet for Scotland for the first time. Very nice.
Well, what a nice goal that was as well.
Very
didn't
nice
he
indeed.
Hit it beautifully.
Yeah, he did.
Ryan Fraser. just look at me. I went, Ryan Fraser.
Why are you thinking about Ryan Fraser?
I don't know.
You looked at me, you saw a small person,
small
you thought
package.
Of another small person.
You said Ryan Fraser in the way that people used to say, Frankie Fraser.
Ryan's in.
How does he score headers, Ryan Fraser? He is literally my height.
He's a little
tiny
boy,
bit taller than me.
Right,
five
okay.
Four he is.
That is a,
got 2 inches on
I
me.
I would very much, in a post-COVID world, like to embrace Ryan Fraser. He's a lovely stocky boy and I'd just love to give him a little squeeze. That's all I've got to say on the matter.
Do you want him to be your next level Matt Ritchie?
Oh, look, if we... I mean, he's...
You might make headlines in MSN Sport again if you say something about Ryan Fraser. Go on.
Oh, God. Oh, I'd like to hug him, says pundit.
a respected pundit, Pete
come
Donaldson.
And hug me, please.
Guest on
from
the Football Ramble.
Pundit Pete Donaldson. Yeah, no, he is. I think Ryan Fraser scored. Has he scored 4 goals in 4, 3 in 3 or something like that? He's having a lovely time at the moment. I just hope that he comes home.
Carries it on carries to Newcastle.
It on and comes home and does
I know,
it. But, yeah.
You could definitely do it. I mean, Kieran Tierney, he's always brilliant to watch. I've really enjoyed watching him when he's been fit this season for Arsenal. And he assisted the first 3 goals from left centre-back. They've got an abundance of riches in that left-back position, haven't they?
Yeah, but he's exactly what they need in a game like this, because the Faroes are not the pushover they once were. You know, they can make it difficult for you. And I thought they played pretty well in the beginning bit of that game. The two teams traded punches. And you need that extra bit of quality to open it up. And that's what Tierney is becoming, isn't it?
Yeah. It's so nice to see Scotland scoring, because they have had a striking problem. They have had a goal scoring problem. And it's just great that they're, and you know, like you said, the Ferrans aren't pushovers as they once were they were before. But you know, goal scoring is a habit frequently, especially at international level. And it'd just be great to see them kick on and score a few more goals.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely obnoxious them doing it when no fans are in the stadium. But still.
It's going to be an exciting summer for Scotland fans, that's for sure. And a clean sheet as well for Craig Gordon, who's 38 years old in between the sticks, Andy. What a spring chicken he is.
Wonderful to see.
Wonderful.
But he's one of those players who grows a beard and you think, who are you kidding?
You know, kidding.
Come on.
What do you mean? As in like...
As in like you just, you know, that's it's probably fake stubble. You know, he's just one of those eternally young looking people.
Yeah, I saw a film with who's the fellow who plays Harry Potter?
Daniel Radcliffe
about a imprisoned freedom fighter in Pretoria, and it was he's got like this big beard. And it looks like it's been glued to his face.
Yeah, there are certain people you just think, like, you should always look young. Like, I can't have you looking older, because it's weird.
Jim ever got old, I'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
What's happened?
I feel sad now.
Old Jim. I'm just old Jim.
Little old man Jim.
Speaking of young and old.
Go on.
I think Guðjónsson's son. He's started playing football for Iceland. 3 generations of the Guðjónssons.
Yeah. I always find it weird when there's footballers' sons that are playing football now, isn't it? It's just odd, isn't it?
I mean, as everyone knows, that is the weirdest sub in football history.
Yeah,
when he makes his international debut, coming on for his dad.
I just love it. And Arne Guðjónsson, the granddad in the piece, he's got another bairn who's 20 now. He used to play for Swansea. I think he's somewhere else now. Maybe he might get a cap.
Maybe.
Eventually, he plays up top, so probably not. But so many Guðjónssons.
Sweet, isn't it? Little family
beautiful ties.
Right, that's the international football wrapped up for now. Marcus, sorry, you've got to wait to the Euros till we talk about more international football. Let's talk about some other fun stuff. Luis Felipe Scolari has been in the news after basically saying that the reason he lost his job at Chelsea, when was this, Andy? 2008, I want to say. Was it around then?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, around then.
No, it would have been later than that, because he was still managing Portugal in 2008. I remember the first international tournament I covered with Portugal was Euro 2008. And we were staying just down the road from them in Neuchâtel in Switzerland. And we interviewed Scolari. Really nice. You kind of want him to be your uncle or your dad or whatever. He's real sort of man's man.
Yeah.
And the best thing was when we went in there to interview Cristiano Ronaldo, and we were just packing up all the TV stuff, and all the Portugal team were having dinner, and he was clearly very keen to get back into the interview room, which they also used as a TV watching room to watch the other games. And there was some games starting, and Scolari didn't want to miss the start of it while everyone else was finishing their dinner. So he stuffed a large bit of food in his mouth, and as we were in the door trying to get out, he just pushed past all of us, just going because he still had his food in his mouth. I thought, my guy,
that is my kind of guy. Yeah,
chicken legs in the pocket.
You absolutely, you do not miss the opportunity to eat food or miss the football either. So both at the same time. So look, the reason he's been in the news lately is because he's talking about the time that he was at Chelsea and the reasons for things not going as well as they did, and him obviously losing his job there. It was actually 2009. So he got the job 2008, lost it by February 2009. So he wasn't actually there for for a great deal of time. And he's saying that the reason for it is Drogba and Anelka cost him one of his greatest chances. He blames the pair for basically saying they couldn't play together for why he actually ended up losing his job there.
I mean, it's his decision to put players together, isn't it?
Yeah, like that's literally your job.
They can only look after themselves. And if you put them together and it's not working, it's very much your fault, no?
I mean, the thing is, when you look at why it fell apart for Scolari at Chelsea, he wasn't especially cosmopolitan. And even when he went out of Brazil to manage, he managed another national team where you don't have that diversity of nationalities and cultures, of course. So I think he wasn't particularly prepared for that personally. But, you know, not very original, is it, trying to pin it on Nicola Anelka?
it's a little bit unfair, isn't it? And I mean, he's saying that we had a meeting and that Anelka had said, I only play in one position, so you have to play me in that position or basically don't.
Would it be fair to say that Anelka's earned that right because he's a very, very good striker?
Yeah. It feels like he's just sort of trying to find an excuse now, isn't he, Andy?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. It's a bit random. Like, why now to come out with this
story? Every ex-Chelsea boss has got a story. You know what I mean? It just seems to just come out every time.
Yeah. Very interesting. Also, another person who's been in the news this week is Richarlison, who has claimed that he apologised. Remember the tackle on Thiago in the Merseyside derby, the one that got him sent off? Mm. And then Thiago was sidelined for quite a while after that with the injury. He said that he tried to apologise to Thiago, but he's got ghosted by him. He said, when there was the derby at their ground, he didn't look at my face. I didn't look at him either. The game goes on. He ignored the pigeon.
What's the pigeon? Is that like a kind of...
That's clearly some Brazilian phrase that we're missing.
That we're oblivious to, yeah.
Does it, or maybe Richarlison just sees pigeons?
Maybe.
I see pigeons.
But bizarre that Thiago would ghost him like that.
Well, understandable, I guess, isn't it?
What would you do, Pete? You were back to five-a-side last night, weren't you?
If you had an
opponent that had tackled you badly previously, would you ghost them?
I would whisper erotic poetry in their ears at Stebbles just to really upset them.
What would you do, Andy? Have you been back to five-a-side?
No, I've not yet, but football's never really stopped for me. I've been playing in the back garden, obviously,
the whole time.
Which has been nice. We've got a formidable array of footballs, which you have to because we've got quite a short wall. So, you know, you're going to lose one here and there.
Oh, yeah.
Do you not go back to the neighbours and get it? Or can you not get round to
the dogs? They're going to start chomping on them, aren't they?
You can't be bothered every, 3 minutes.
Is that how often it is?
Yeah.
You've got to work on your aim.
Andy.
I don't want to throw anyone under the bus.
Sounds like you're talking about your own Anelka and Drogba knocking that they won't play together. They knock the ball over the wall. Disgraceful.
It is pretty much like managing some temperamental international stars.
Daniel Agger, remember him? Liverpool, kind of like a bit of a cult hero, wasn't he, at Liverpool? He's got his first job in management.
Well done him.
He's taking charge of a Danish second division club called HB Koog, I think is how you pronounce
Koog.
It.
Koog. That was very delicately done.
K-O-G-E. Help me out, Danish fans here, and tell me how to pronounce that. HB Koog, I think. Bizarrely, he actually runs a tattoo parlour bar and owns a sewage company, which he's called Cloaga. And now he's gone into football management just to, you know, go full circle, Andy.
You know, I have greater respect than I ever had for Daniel Agger, and I had a lot of respect for him anyway. But, you know, he's done quite a lot of his own tattoos. Having taken a very long time to cut my own hair, I don't know how you get to the point where you're giving yourself tattoos.
You've sort of obviously scarified your hair.
Because you could probably quite easily do one on your thigh.
Well,
you?
They say like tattooists always have the worst tattoos on their knees, on their thighs, because that's
they can do it.
Because you can buy like pig skin. I think oranges, I want to say, are quite good for practicing with a tattoo needle.
Okay.
But yeah, the knees are always the ones that are like where they're just starting out on drawing on themselves. So yeah, they always look a bit shit.
I reckon I could tattoo my leg.
What would you write?
Jakub Moda. England 2, Poland 1.
But the word cloaca, that's what
great,
birds...
Actually,
cloaca, that's what a bird poos out of.
What?
That's their vagina, their penis, their bum, that's everything.
Is that right?
That's an actual word.
Cloaca, yeah.
I don't know much about nature, but they've got a thing that's a vagina and a penis.
I think so, yeah.
All rolled
Clip
into
that.
One.
I think so, yeah. I think it does all kinds of stuff. I don't know why I want that.
It does all Italian kind there. Of stuff. All kind of stuff.
I put the pineapple on and the ham.
Oh, clagger. Okay, I might, yeah. might Google that later.
Get involved.
Speaking of Liverpool as well, Andy, Liverpool apparently in talks with Ibrahim Konate's agent. What's the story there? Anything you can tell us?
Well, the story that came out that Liverpool are set to sign him, it seems that's a little bit jumping the gun. His people don't think he's that far down the line. And presumably they're all speaking to each other. So, look, he'd be a great signing for them, I think. I think some people who watch Leipzig regularly would argue that he's a better defender than Upamecano. He's more of a proper defender. He doesn't bring the ball out to the same extent that Upamecano does, certainly not 70 yards from goal or whatever. Missed most of last season through injury. Fit for most of this season. A few little injuries really coming off complications of his long layoff. So I think he'd be great for them. Affordable as well. I guess the question is, do they keep Ozan Kabak?
Yeah.
If that's the case. I mean, personally, they've been so short this season. And I think the price that you could get Konate and Kabak for, I think buy them both.
But when you have all, say for example, Liverpool are in the ideal world where they have all of their centre halves all fit, that's way too many to have,
well,
in your squad, is
maybe,
it not?
Maybe do a reverse of this season where you just like put the centre backs in midfield and put in the midfield as a
Where's
centre-back.
Hendo?
That would be fun. And Andy, you're going to be back for OTC later, aren't you?
We'll be touching on Lewandowski's injury, amongst other things, as well, looking back on the under-21 group stage, your under-21 group stage with Dotun Adebayo and David Cartledge.
Yeah, make sure you join Andy and the boys a little bit later for that on the continent. A new episode coming out later on this afternoon. You were just talking about giving yourself a bit of a dodgy trim on your head, Andy. It's been tough times in lockdown. Pete, you've not had a haircut yet, have you?
Look at me. I look like Philip Sclary. You guys have got such amazing hair at the moment, and I look like a tramp man.
Oh my goodness me. I mean, to be fair, girls have it easy because our hair just grows and just gets longer. It doesn't.
Yeah,
really,
but look,
get
it's all curly and stuff.
Yeah, I know,
it's
but
all
I,
like,
you know, make the effort for you boys, you know, make the effort to come on Football Ramble. Brazilian Ronaldo has actually apologised for his famous 2002 haircut in an interview this week. He said it was horrible. I apologise to all the mothers who saw their children get the same haircut.
It's not.
It's iconic.
It's never been repeated.
It's iconic.
Never been repeated. So few people, boy, got it. People will be going on about how good it was.
I mean, I thought at the beginning that he was trying to do his hair like Jim Bob from Carter the Unstoppable Sex Machine, but it simply wouldn't grow enough at the front.
Right, okay.
Oh,
yeah,
you're only
yeah.
at the World Cup for a month.
True.
You need to have some sort of growth stimulant, and you definitely don't want any stimulants at the World Cup.
No. The thing is, I feel like you do get judged by what your hair looks like, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is definitely someone who agrees with that. He opened up about a bizarre scouting trip yesterday. He said, I once went to see a player, and as he walked out of the dressing room, he had a Mohican, and I said to my scout, nah mate, let's go home, I'm not interested. So he is Bindoff, who could potentially be
excellent
player just because he's got a Mohican. I hope he was joking.
Presumably it's some sort of joke that's backfired.
I hope that's a joke.
It doesn't massively reflect well on him.
No, it really doesn't.
I mean, I can understand in the reverse sense, like a problem that I had with the Napoli club shop is the Marek Hamsik, like pencil sharpeners and biscuit tins and all that sort of stuff. It just has a short back and sides.
Oh,
it doesn't have a mohawk.
Same. No, well, it's time for his mohawk.
It's his defining feature. I mean, you know, what you think about retaining a novelty haircut for 10 years is a different question. But if he is going to do that, it needs to be part of the branded merchandise.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, players like Nyanglan, he obviously had a mohawk for quite a while, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And like sort of, but he changed it a little bit. So it's hard to kind of keep up. I always sort of use the example of the last FIFA on the Nintendo Switch and actually the last FIFA on everything else as well. Video game fans had a terrible Anselm Massaman model His hair was like bright blonde dreads.
Right.
And he didn't look anything like him. He basically had Shola Amiobi-itis, where they just didn't bother making a Shola Amiobi model. They didn't bother making an Alison Maximine. They didn't realise he was going to explode quite as much as he did when he moved to Newcastle. But he looked absolutely stinking.
I mean, there was a guy who used to play for PSG and Serbia called Daniel Luboja. And he had this sort of like blonde fin down the middle of his head, like a sort of normalish haircut, but like a blonde fin down the middle. But he kept it for so long, I started thinking, does his hair grow naturally like that? And I've just misunderstood.
Earlier this week, when Sergio Aguero announced that he was leaving City at the end of the season, going back through loads of archive, obviously there's so many, you know, goals over the years and looking at when he first arrived. Isn't it weird how when overseas players come to the Premier League, they have this look? Like, he looks so different when he first arrived. Earrings and this, like, not great haircut. He looks so much better now, like, 10 years on. And weirdly enough, when he actually first had the blonde, didn't really like it. But now I'm like, actually, I think that was probably his best
hair. It was iconic, wasn't it, I suppose? Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's something you do to cover ageing in your 30s.
Very good.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No, I bleached my hair.
Wasn't there a haircut we were looking at before we came in the studio that you wanted to talk about, Pete?
Oh, I can't remember. No, Andy brought it up. Andy brought it up, and I said we are not talking about the fact that possibly a Polish footballer looks his bald spot looks like a penis. And Andy said, "Let's not talk about that." And I said, "Let's not talk about that." But Jules, on the other hand.
Look, you've talked about penis, vagina, bum holes.
So I say again. Yeah. It's more graphic than that. It's a penis going into a bum hole. It's fucking amazing. It is amazing.
Look, I didn't want to talk.
Well done.
I didn't want to talk about that, but you've done it very skillfully, Pete. Because what you've done is you've said that he's a Polish.
Oh, sorry, Pandev. Yeah.
And it's Goran Pandev. So you've made me engage in this discussion.
I've drawn you up by getting something inaccurate
with your inaccuracy.
Yes. Come on.
This is why Pete is the respected pundit that he is.
Cocking a bum.
MSN.
Cocking a bum.
Oh, lovely stuff. Right, if you enjoyed today's show, remember to get over to the reviews section of your podcast app. It helps other listeners find the show. We love you for it. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Marcus, Luke and Jim are going to be here. Pete, Andy, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time on The Ramble.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.